The specialists are back, and we are recapping episode number 8 of the Traitors US Season 2. It was a sad day for the Survivor community. That is for certain. I don't really know what else to say about that. Will, how do you feel about this 50-50 shot we had of something working out for Parvati and ultimately what went down?
I don't even know if it was 50-50. I mean, you could say 50-50 in terms of it was going to be Phaedra or Parv going home at this banishment. But even if Phaedra goes home here and Peter and co are able to shift the vote from Parv to Phaedra, as you know, as good as Peter's acting was, we still knew as the audience, hey, he's not off Parvati's scent, and that she likely would just go next week. So it's kind of like Dan, where did he mess up? Where was he wrong? What did he do this episode or the previous episode? It was like, no, it was kind of like he was drawing dead from like 3 or 4 episodes before he ultimately got banished. And I think it's similar with Parv. I think there was too much heat on her. Once she got caught in that trap that was set by Peter, it seems like her game unraveled and there wasn't really a way to recover. So yes, Phil, 50-50, but there was no way Parv was really getting through this, I don't think.
Yeah, she wasn't getting much further than this, because unlike the Dan situation, Dan might have been able to get the fire off of his back if he could have convinced people to, hey, yeah, like, see, I told you it was Phaedra. I finally spoke up. In this situation, this was just to buy time and to not let Phaedra get all of the Bravo ladies onto her side and figure this out. What's really crazy about this, though, is let's say Phaedra had gone home. Parvati would have been put in the situation where she could have went downstairs and said, okay, I'm giving the ultimatum to somebody. And I don't think she would have picked Pete at this point because there was too much heat on him. And it would have been very funny if she would have gotten one of the Bravo ladies or Sandra or something like that and hit them with the ultimatum, because Phaedra picking Kate, which we'll get into, definitely makes sense. But it would have been very interesting to see what Parvati would have done with that power.
Yes. I almost feel like Parv goes with Peter, though, at that point. I feel like their relationship has been
such a bad move.
I don't know. Their relationship has been so tumultuous and up and down, and like just to have them come together and actually be on the same team, it's almost like that's what the show like really needed to have happen here, or if Parvati was going to continue on. I feel like we're on that direction, and I don't think it would be that bad of a move, because Peter is someone who can sway votes. He couldn't do it tonight, but I think he has enough power. And he's someone that's getting looked at. Again, if you're a traitor here, you don't totally mind if one, you know, like if your other traitor teammate, you know, teammate in quotes, because yes, mm-hmm. you're on the same traitor team, but you don't really hate it if they have some heat. And I mean, Kate's coming into the situation where Phaedra has all this heat on her. It's like we could see this where Kate comes in halfway through the season. They get Phaedra out. There's no more recruitment, and no one even thinks it's Kate. And Kate is our sole winner traitor, which it's just insane. Feels absurd and kind of like, what's the point? If that's really the ending we're heading towards. The point is entertainment. The point is fun. We say that on the show all the time. We like so many things about how this show is so immersive in its world. And, you know, it hams everything up. And I think the gameplay sometimes, it's not perfect and it's not fair and it's not pretty, but it's still entertaining and it's still a lot of fun. I think we have more examples of that tonight.
Yeah, I think the biggest takeaway is if they would have voted out Phaedra tonight, Peter would have actually looked really good. And then Parvati could have backed him into the corner. Right now, I think Peter is a sitting duck. We got Ryan 51 saying, hopefully Pete wins the game. And then Fisher M09 says he's drawing a lot of heat now. I think Pete will be gone in an episode or two. I think Pete's in a lot of trouble now, because even if he sits there and says, oh, well, I was just trying to work it because we were going to get rid of Parvati next, you're going to get a lot of the same reactions that you got from Kate, which is don't care. Don't want to hear it.
Yeah. Why are you lying? Why are you lying to me if I'm faithful and you're faithful? Like, what is the point? And I get what he was doing, but that was the problem with his plan. They all, like Trishel and Peter's plan, they let too few people in on what they were actually doing.
Yeah.
And I know, hey, if you tell everybody, it's going to get back to Parv somehow. But it seemed like the whole house was against Parv, like even the Bravo Alliance. So it's not like you could have like looped more people in instead of doing this like roundabout, okay, I'm going to pretend to be off of the Parv scent, put it on Phaedra, and then everyone look at you and be like, whoa, why are you suddenly off Parv? What's going on here? And then to just be after the fact, like, no, it was an act. It's like, oh, so you were lying to me. Great. Yeah. Great.
In a game about lying, you are admitting you're lying, and now you want me to trust you that you're not lying. Great. Perfect. Flawless logic. The biggest issue here is, so for anybody who was trying to figure out the numbers, because when Bergy went home at the beginning of the episode, that knocked it down to 11 players left in the game. So we had Kevin, Parvati, Trishel, and Peter. They were all going to work together. There's your four people. What they needed to do was get CT and get Sandra, because they weren't going to get Kate. They weren't going to get Sheree. They obviously weren't going to get Phaedra, because why would Phaedra vote for herself?
They weren't going to get MJ.
They weren't going to get MJ. And there's one more that I'm missing.
John.
John, they tried to work John, and they tried to get John, but they didn't get John. So maybe they could have gotten John. They didn't do enough work to get Sandra on board with the plan.
From what we saw, they didn't do enough work to get anyone else on board. It's like Kevin, Trishelle, and Peter are like, okay, let's do this. And us three plus Parv are like, we'll just convince everybody and that will be enough. And it's like, no, you have a whole house full of people that are like 100% sure Parv is a traitor and they're going to vote that way.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I actually think the biggest mistake of this episode, the top mistake that was made in this episode, was that Parvati got rid of Bergy. Getting rid of Bergalicious was the end of Parvati's game. The reason why it was the end of Parvati's game is because it gave the Bravo people too many numbers, and it really did weaken Peter. If Peter, we didn't know that Peter and Trishelle were going to start working with Parvati or that they were going to try to turn this on Phaedra, but you weakened Peter. But only really Peter. You then made Phaedra and her group too strong. So if you keep Bergy and you get rid of MJ, Parvati survives this episode tonight. Phaedra goes home.
Do you think they still get the full numbers? So you're thinking that it's Bergy, Peter, Trishelle, Kevin, Parv. That's five. Mm-hmm. MJ is gone, let's say. Mm-hmm. But aren't there still six other votes?
It's easier to convince them if Bergy is still in the game, because if Bergy is still in the game, Bergy had better working relationships. And if Bergy is going to be willing to keep working with Peter, nobody's been suspicious of Bergy. People were suspicious of Peter, especially after he admitted that he was offered the option to become a traitor. So they're suspicious of him. People have been suspicious of Trishelle. Nobody was suspicious of Bergy. So if Bergy's still willing to go along with it, I think that other people also would have been willing to go along with it. And I think that would have made a huge difference. So it really is a shame. Like, Parvati can't necessarily know all of this, but the worst move in this episode is Parvati getting rid of Bergy to start it off.
Yeah, I think it's hard to call that a bad move, because that's heavily dependent on what Peter and Trishelle try to put together, which I said at the top of this episode, that wasn't even really going to save Parvati anyway. It was just going to hurt Phaedra more. So I don't really know if it's like, oh, bad move, because it wasn't a losing move. She had already lost. That's kind of where I'm at with it. Like, she already, if Phaedra goes, Parvati's going the next time. Remember, this is the first banishment we've had since Dan's banishment.
Yeah.
Like, this is the only chance Parvati has had to go home. She had a lot of time. She had more days to recover and make something happen. And we saw her try tonight. We saw her talking to everybody, her crying to John, and John still voted for her. So I don't think there was really anything Parv could have done. So I don't know if I can.
Well, so let me ask you this. Knowing that it was going to be an ultimatum, then maybe she doesn't know it's going to be an ultimatum, but we know that it would have been an ultimatum. No matter how this dug out, they were never going to let the traitors get eliminated here. So they were going to offer an ultimatum. If Phaedra goes home, now people are looking at Peter and Trishelle and stuff going, hey, you were onto something there. Now we can get rid of Parvati the next time. But then if Parvati does do the ultimatum to Peter, all of a sudden Parvati might have a little bit of legs in this game.
Well, that's what I would say. I think she would have chosen Peter, right, and that would have been the best move in that case, because then Peter can take some heat and Peter can help get the vote off of you. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It's weird because Alan then comes in when Phaedra's alone and he says, as per the rules, anytime a traitor is banished, you can recruit a new one. As if like we're always going to just replenish traders.
Did he say that?
Yeah, he says, as per the rules. Something to that effect. I don't know if that's like exactly.
So it must be known then.
But it's like, it seems like, okay, whenever we lose a trader, we're just going to put another one in. And they assume everyone's going to say yes. Clearly that didn't happen with Peter. So now we have this ultimatum thing where it's like, okay, now you are basically.
What do you think the decision is going to be for Kate, Will? You think she's going to decide?
Yeah, exactly. No, I think Kate's like, I want out of here. Just kill me.
Honestly, so if anybody was going to say it, Kate would be the person to say, please just kill me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know we said Peter, he made a really, really terrible move by not going with the traders, and he's going to play this moral game, and we all rolled our eyes. Is he sitting any better now? Like, I don't even think so. Like, I really don't think so.
I think he's worse. I think he's screwed.
Well, yeah, he should have gone home by now, though. If he didn't get this, you know, twist to the format, this segment where five people get extra shields, he would be dead already. Like, he wouldn't even made it to this episode.
But I think with him going out and defending Parvati in the way that he defended her, and then Parvati staying, and after admitting, or Parvati going and Phaedra staying, and after admitting that he was fake recruited or whatever he wants to call it, I think he's toast. I think he's absolutely screwed now. I think he will be banished at the next vote, because Phaedra is going to bring Kate onto her side. She's not going to murder. So now you're going to have Phaedra and Kate.
And Kate's already laying the groundwork against Peter anyway, before she even has technically become a traitor.
Yeah.
So she's already like putting out that suspicion. Now Kate and Phaedra can work together harder, put the heat on to Peter, get him out. And then if like that doesn't work, it's like, oh, Peter was a faithful. It's like, whatever. He was an annoying faithful. Like, he was lying to us. And Kate can be like, whatever. I feel like Kate's going to have a pretty easy go at being a traitor, because she has such this not, she speaks her mind. She has this kind of carefree attitude. And I think that will very much help her cover her tracks. Like, she doesn't have to be so precise.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. I think the problem is too, Kate came into the game late. Kate's already like, Kate has the lowest suspicion on her. Kate doesn't have to change the way she's going to play the game now that she's become a traitor. She's just going to be the same person. And that's kind of problematic with the game. So let me ask you this, because
we do know that the players are going to know that someone was recruited, because there won't be a murder.
Yeah. Well, I mean, unless any player who doesn't think somebody's going to be recruited here, well, I guess they don't realize that we're down to just one, because they,
right. They didn't know that. They probably thought we were. And that's why this game is so hard to play faithfully, because you don't know who they start with. And then every time you get one right, you're not really doing yourself any favors.
Yeah.
So it's all really silly. But I wonder, maybe, do they have Kate come in and it's like, okay, now I tossed this out last time and you said, no, there's no way they would do that. And your reasoning was, well, I was suggesting, hey, maybe they recruit and murder after. And you said, no, it was so clear it was a choice, either murder someone or recruit. At least here, it's like you have to send this person the ultimatum. Then they're coming in. It didn't say anything about not murdering somebody tonight. Like, Kate could join Phaedra and then they could murder somebody. I'm just saying, it's possible.
I'd buy it more now because they're getting down in numbers, but I still don't think that they're going to do that. I still think that this is going to be, the ultimatum is going to happen and that's going to be it. All right. I wanted to ask you a question before that. Like this video, subscribe to the channel. Will and I get in trouble because we don't do that. We don't like doing that, but do it, because we're almost 15 minutes in. And if you're listening this far, and you probably like us, so like the video, subscribe to the channel. Please do all of that. Here's the question that's going on in the chat right now. This is what everybody wants to know. Clutch hat trick. Again, I ask, why is Kate here? Fisher M09 says, I love Kate. Ryan 51, I don't like Kate. Clutch hat trick. I can't stand her. Fisher M, Kate is literally comedy gold. Will, where do you stand on Kate?
It's funny, because I was someone who have said I watched the first season very quickly in like probably one day or a day and a half, just binged it at 1.5 or even maybe 1.75 speed, mainly to like watch. I pretty much didn't watch. I mean, I wanted to understand the format. And then once the challenges, I realized, had like no influence on anything, I was like, kind of like zip, 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 like get the gist of what they're doing. Who are they killing? The round tables, I think, are always really suspenseful and fun. But I really didn't remember Kate. Now that she's back, I kind of remember her face and personality, but I really can't remember what she did.
She's doing now. She was obnoxious.
And this might sound like a cop-out, and it probably is, but like I don't have that strong of an opinion on Kate. I'm not someone sitting here being like, oh my God, get her off my screen. She bugs me. She's annoying. I'm also not sitting here being like, oh my God, comedy gold queen. Yes, we need her. I'm like, okay, she's like one of these Bravo people from a show and a franchise that I have not watched, that I'm not interested in. And they have some big characters in those formats. Like Phaedra is somebody I really did not know much about. Like I said, I've actually worked on a show where Phaedra was a cast member, so I got to know a little bit. So that was actually a little bit kind of fun to see her become a traitor. But like Kate, I really don't know. And I think she has some quippy one-liners. I think she's going to be more fun as a traitor. I can tell you that. I think when you have Faithful, they're probably a little bit more harder to edit or tell their stories because they have don't have much to do. We've talked about this. It's like, how do you play a great Faithful game? I think Peter is like showing us an example. It's like, okay, you set traps, you form an alliance or whatever. But Kate is just there to observe and like kind of talk shit and make fun of people. And that's fun, but that can get old. I'm excited to see Kate as a traitor. I think she'll be a unique traitor. She might get really annoying. She might get on my nerves, but I think traitor Kate is probably more entertaining and more interesting than Faithful Kate. And honestly, that's probably true for almost every player. Like I'd rather see Kevin as a traitor than a Faithful, you know, like
I think Kevin might be my favorite.
He's not bad. No, and I'm not trying to say he's bad either. Yeah, he's been good.
Yeah. So then as you were saying that, HGBAU says, I love Kate. Thomas McGee, I love Kate too. Ryan Chan, I like Kate in doses. DM Rocks, I love Kate. She is reality TV gold. HJ Bao, she is TV gold, is exactly right. You ready? I don't like Kate at all. Can't stand her. Want her off my TV. I've said it since season one. I felt like she was so miserable on season one. She didn't want to be there. She didn't want to play the game. And I feel like on season two, for her to come in the middle and kind of be put into this, I just don't find her entertaining. And like, that's fine. I don't have to, right? Like I can sit here and say that. I'm sure some people will be like, Phil, you're just a hater. Maybe I am, but like, I don't normally watch these types of reality TV show. And these are kind of the reasons why I don't. Like my wife sits here and watches all the housewives shows and everything like that. I don't watch that stuff. And I know she's not a housewife. She's below deck, but like Kate is not a personality that I find fun to watch on TV. I feel like it's trying really hard. I feel like it's attempting to be so controversial just to be confrontational and controversial. Like that's all it is. And I just like, I like that other people on this season compared to last season are pretty much telling her to like screw herself because that's fun. And Kevin like can't stand her and like Pete and all that. I like that they're doing that more, but I don't like her. And I am kind of annoyed that she's now going to be a traitor because I do think that it kind of diminishes the merit of the game a little bit. And I get that's stupid, but like, it's like a person who comes in a little bit into the game can't be a traitor from day one. Is now coming in, becomes a traitor, is teaming up with Phaedra, and like has already played the game before. Like she made it really far. I think she finished fifth or sixth on the first season. So Kate has played for a really long time. So yeah, that's just where I land on Kate. And I'm sure, I hope that when I said that, I don't turn off all of our viewers. I hope that some of you at least agree with me. And I hope some of you at least understand where I'm coming from on that.
Yeah. I mean, everyone can have their own opinions on who their favorites are and who, you know, they don't necessarily enjoy watching. You know, something that's very interesting with this show is that I think it goes out of its way to cast a lot of these like strategic players, like the most strategic players from the game shows, the competition shows, like Johnny Bananas, CT, Trishel. We have Sandra, right? We have Sari. You have Dan Geesling
and Janelle.
Right. And it's just like, you are bringing in fans of those shows because they like gameplay and they like strategy. And that's a big part of why people like the traitors. I don't necessarily know if people are watching the traitors for like the reality, like of them just hanging out in the castle. Mm-hmm. And because it's not like, it's not that good. And they don't even actually live together. Like they live in a hotel and they come here to play a game. So it's tough for me. It's like, I think what makes Below Deck and The Real Housewives work is that you have these big characters and personalities put in to specific scenarios and environments where personalities clash and great stories can be told. Whereas here they're coming to play a game. So it just kind of feels a little bit off that this super strategic, manipulative lying game, now our traders are a housewife and a below deck person. Again, nothing against these people, but like, hey, look, Dan and Parv got eliminated. That's on them. It just feels weird that this, the game is now in the hands of people that don't play games, and that the audience who watches this and watches these shows, they might, I don't know, they might prefer someone who's a little bit more game and strategy oriented. At least that's where we're coming from. But who knows? I mean, this could be, you know, all the Housewives fans come to watch the Traders because they love seeing their favorite Housewives on one show together. Like, they get someone from Atlanta and they get someone from New Jersey or Salt Lake City or whatever, and they get to be on one show and kind of play this bougie game of lying and stuff. I can also see that. It's just some of the casting feels, I don't know, it feels weird. It's almost like it should be an All-Stars of like actual competition show people.
Let's look at this, right? So you have the people who have been banished. Peppermint, what would you consider? RuPaul's Drag Race isn't a competition show, but like, what is RuPaul's Drag Race?
I mean, it is a common competition show. It is a formatted show where there are people eliminated.
Mm-hmm. But they're not like strategizing.
No, I'm not. I don't know that very well, but they are competing to be the Ultimate Drag Race. And I think it's more like America's Next Top Model or Project mm-hmm. Runway or like a cooking show where it's like talent or skill based. Mm-hmm. But it is elimination. It is a competition.
Okay. Then Max went home Dancing with the Stars. That is what it is. Larsa went home Real Housewives of Miami. But Larsa also went home because people were just so fishy about her because of the Marcus thing. So that's kind of tough. They've since broken up. The last three people to be banished are two Big Brother players and a Survivor player. The names that have been coming up other than those people, Sandra always does a good job of hiding, but it's been CT and Trishel. Kevin came up a little bit, but it was CT and Trishel. And it's
Peter came up, which we've kind of talked about. I mean, that is Peter's an elimination. Done that to
himself.
Right.
I think a lot of the people on this show, what's happening is if you come in as a competition player, you have a target on your back right away. You have a massive target on your back. Phaedra sits there and goes, I've never been told that. I've never been told this, whatever. And I think Phaedra is going to be able to dip down. I think she's going to alligator it. I think she's going to hide after being called out this much at this episode. And I think that's going to work for her. Trishel called out exactly what's happening, but the non-competition people aren't buying it because they're kind of doing the hangout part of it, which is the least interesting part. Them jumping into the different rooms and stuff, I thought it was really weird the way they edited that tonight, where we didn't see the conversation between Peter and Parvati in that one room where Phaedra walked in until at the round table. And I feel like that's the stuff that we should be seeing all the time. So I don't know.
Wasn't that from last episode, that scene? Or no? They flashed back.
If it was, I was watching that in an uncomfortable position. So I don't know.
Yeah. No, I mean, I like the mix up of cast, but It feels, I don't know. We need to see how Kate plays as a trader. Cause I mean, Phaedra has been fantastic as a trader and she hasn't come from a competition show. So we got to give her props. And now she's been voted for by both of her, you know, cohorts, basically. Like Dan's voted for her and Parr's voted for her now. So like she's been turned on by both other traders and she's the last one standing. So props to Phaedra. I remember we watched, what was it, the first three episodes and we did our recap. I mean, it was clear very early on that Phaedra was in the best position and had the least heat on her right away, like right from the get-go.
Yeah. And so now do you think that Phaedra is in the clear or do you think that it's going to become more of people pushing to get rid of her? Because now both traders have been saying, I think it could be Phaedra. Do you think that that's going to hurt her? Because Trishel was on it. I mean, Trishel was on the money with everything she was saying tonight.
I think it's just tough because the anti-Phaedra gang, they only have three votes now. Because I mean, Parv was one of those four votes. What was the final vote tonight? It was what?
7-4.
I mean, it wasn't even that close.
Well, it would have been, again, it comes down to Sandra and CT, because if Sandra and CT had voted the other way, it's 6-5. So they were the swing votes tonight.
Right. And honestly, it could be too. It's like, hey, we think it's Phaedra and Parv, and we can only vote for one of them. So let's just vote for who we're more sure about, and let's get Phaedra the next time. It's just bizarre because it could be Phaedra goes next week and then you have Kate as the sole traitor after like barely being in the show. It's absolutely possible. Do you think they led Phaedra to pick Kate? It just seems like maybe we're just totally off base and it's like Kate was the season one star. Everyone loved her. Just we need her back and we need her back in a bigger role. So at some point, let's make sure she becomes a traitor. Is that looking too far into it? I don't know.
I think that's looking too far into it. Here's my question to you. We're now down to, what, 10 people left? Who else would she take? It, like, if you're Phaedra and you know Phaedra's relationships and you're trying to think of how Phaedra would want to play this game, who else is she putting on her side?
So I actually thought that she was going to pick Sandra. That was my first thought. You saw Sandra and Phaedra, I think, share this hug right at the end of the round table. And I thought that was some foreshadowing because as I've kind of been watching, and I didn't know this was as per the rules, as Mr. Cumming told us, that I'm like, okay, now we're down to one. We're definitely getting a recruitment, and we see this hug. I believe it was Sandra, but there was a hug. And like, I'm glad you're okay, you're in it. And they shared a moment. And I thought, okay, here we go. Now we have, you know, Parv's gone. Let's give Sandra her turn. It would have made a lot of sense. And honestly, I know both of us, we would have both rather seen that. So maybe that was just wishful thinking on my part.
I do think it was a little bit of wishful thinking, but I could see it because also from the
edit. I feel like that makes sense too.
And what have we seen a lot of the edit? We've seen a lot of Sandra saying, I just want to play with the housewives. I'm getting in good with the housewives. So maybe it would have made sense for Phaedra to turn around and pick Sandra. Because
Sandra keeps saying, like, I'm going to win. I'm going to win. Yeah. And it's like, okay, now you finally get into like the winning role or the winning spot. Because even if you are a faithful, are you even a winner? Even if you split the money five ways, like it's hard to, I know you technically won, but it doesn't feel like you're a champion or that you're a victor. It's more that you eliminated the people that had the real chance of winning.
Yeah. I think what you'll end up seeing happen at the end is if you get down to five people or so, you'll see a majority take out the minority just to make their portion of the pot bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they think everybody left is a faithful because they're just going to want their portion to be bigger. So that's where there actually is a social game going on here, right? Because if you get down to final five or so, and you think everybody's a faithful, you got to make sure that you're not going to be the person who they say, actually, I'm going to get rid of you now.
Yes. And we had a comment on our recap from last week. And it was basically like, if traitors becomes alliances voting against each other without regard of whether they're faithfuls or traitors, that will destroy the show and like break the very premise. And I think there is some truth to that if that's all that becomes, but I do think there is something to be said for having strategy outside of, hey, who do you think's a traitor? Oh, I saw that person blink weird. Like there has to be more to it. And I think having alliances or voting blocks or groups, whatever you want to call it, I think if that's layered in on top of, hey, we need to figure out who the traitors are at the same time, I think that can work really well. And there's that like marriage of both those ideas. But I do agree if it's simply like, all right, there's 12 people left. Let's get seven people against five. I don't care if you're a traitor or not. Let's just banish all these people. Then that can just be, you know, that's a different game. That's not really, that kind of loses the importance of the traitors, but I don't know if it will ever get that far because the traitors still have so much power to murder people and there's enough else kind of going on. I just don't know if I would mind that if we did get like an alliance-based game. I think we need something more than just what's your hunch.
Clutch Hattrick says there's no strategy, and like that is where the danger is, right? There's definitely strategy in this game, but what you're saying is that gets into a level where strategy really isn't as important in the game because then it just becomes, let's keep getting rid of as many people. Like, okay, so this is the person I want to say this because this is the person I was thinking, and that's what Clutch Hattrick just said. People like Sheree aren't strategizing. They're on vacation with their friends, Phaedra, Tamara, and MJ, and I can't vote them out. When it came to Sheree, that was the only other person I thought Phaedra would have picked, but why would you pick Sheree? Sheree's not even playing the game. Sheree is just there. She's existing, but she does not know how to play the traitors. So why would you pick her to come on your side? Because I feel like Sheree would be the one person, if you made her a traitor, who would play the game entirely different once she became a traitor. I think it's very obvious she's not, because she doesn't know what she's doing.
Right. You know, you don't want to pick someone who is going to be very bad at like hiding it and act like they're going to have to act totally different. Like, I think Sheree would be one of those people potentially who just like totally gives it away, where it's like, oh, you are very different, Sheree. You haven't said anything and now you're playing hard. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And then all of a sudden it would be turning, flipping the switch. So yeah, it's a tough game for multiple seasons. And we know season three has already been renewed. We know it's coming out. We know it's going to be a thing. But this show does become more and more difficult to produce and to make as it goes on, because you need to make sure that this game stays as what the Traders is supposed to be. My biggest fear right now, because I think you hit it right on the head, is finding the Traders doesn't really matter. If you find the Traders early, if you find the Traders late, it does not matter. Yeah, if you get to Final Five and the original three Traders are still in the game, well, yeah, you lose. You can't win as a faithful. But if you are suspicious, like let's say with Parvati, right? Parvati gets to Final Five in this season. She's there with Peter, and let's say she had recruited Peter. So it'd be Parvati and Peter, and there's three other people there. Peter could win that game. Peter could be like Suri and be the last standing faithful or last standing trader and beat the faithfuls. That could be anybody else. Parvati is never going to get to the end and then say, okay, yeah, sure, we'll all split. They're always going to get rid of her just because the suspicion was always there. And so I think that's where this becomes a little bit difficult, because why get rid of Parvati when you know that if you go to Final Five with Parvati, you are voting Parvati out of this game and everybody's going to be on board with it.
Right. And I think that's what Trishelle, I mean, not that that was her total thinking, but it was like, hey, we Parvati's wounded. We all know it's her. Let's try to get somebody else out. Hey, and if we miss, we're just eliminating a faithful. Like, it's okay. It's okay. That's more money for us. But to your point, what you just said, finding the traitors doesn't matter. That's exactly right. Especially when you can recruit. Like, that's like, if you're just going to replenish the traitors, then what does it matter? I guess I think we've talked about this before. You get the reward, or you get a bonus of now you get this information on like the transition from a faithful to a trader, and that should maybe help you like figure out who it is. But is that enough? Like, is that your reward? I mean, you should get maybe money. I don't know. Again, I think
if you I actually kind of like that idea, right? Like, if you get rid of a trader, that could be the way that they separate the trader and faithful money a little bit, is like, if the traders get some, if a faithful gets a trader, it's like 10,000 bonus bucks that like is automatically split between all of the people who are left.
Should be more than 10,000,
but all the people who vote correctly or something, like they get to split it. No, I don't know if it needs to be more than 10,000, because it's like a mid game thing.
I'm just saying, if we're separating the pools, I think that would, you would want to, like, they're basically like bounties. Like, each trader has a bounty on them for like 100 grand or 50 grand or something. And it becomes really important to get the traders out so that you can add to the prize pool. That's where like the majority of the money is coming from. Then just make the challenges about shields, because the money in the challenges makes no one cares. It's a piece of gold coin worth $5,000 or whatever. I mean,
and we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the challenges in a second. Foogie TV here says Phaedra picked Kate because Kate defends her at the round table, but it would have been so good if Phaedra had made Sandra a traitor. And I really do think it was as simple as that. Like, Kate is defending her. Kate is not on anybody's radar. Kate came into the game late. Just make Kate the other person and just roll with it.
I would have loved Sandra and Phaedra, the duo.
Hey, there's still a chance that we could get Sandra as a traitor, though. I'm not totally convinced that she won't sneak her way in as like a late second traitor.
So what's your strategy as a faithful to get to the end so that you can maybe get recruited to be a trader? Like, what can you do to not get murdered by the traders? Like, do you just have to be nice to everybody, or like not play hard? It just like seems so random. Like,
if it was
don't get banished, I think there's a lot you can do, but you can't really defend yourself and don't get murdered. Like, if someone's like, you know what, he's on to me just a little bit, and then if you don't toss out a name, if you don't say anything, everyone's gonna think you're a traitor like Dan, and you're just gonna get banished anyway. So it's like, you have to toss out some name, but you can't be, there's not, and maybe that's fun, and maybe that's why it's interesting, because there's not like a predictable one way to play the game. There's a lot of different things you can do, and you don't really have that much control over yourself. And then I guess that's okay.
And that's okay. Like, this game isn't maybe as strategic of a game as it advertises itself to be. Maybe it is a lot more luck and there's just a lot more randomness that you have to be able to jump around with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Trey Williams says, how can they fix the challenges? Because I gave this one a shot for Dr. Will and it was still boring slash lame. Will, you've worked on shows where there's going to be guests and there's going to be people and you're like, yes, we're going to get some people out there. What's the deal with the Dr. Will thing here? They flew him all the way to Scotland. They put him in the preview for the show, like for the beginning of the season. They had him in there. He was on our screen for maybe a minute and 20 seconds and he's gone. Didn't do anything. Dumped a couple bugs on people. This was a challenge that was an escape room, which was fun, but it was similar to last year's. What do you think about this?
I mean, I think you just answered the question in your question. He's there for the promo. I mean, that's the whole deal. They show a face that people recognize. I don't know who Dr. Will is. The only Big Brother season I watched was actually with Dan, like his winning season. So I actually I got to know Dan pretty well, but I don't know Dr. Will. But they put him in there. I'm sure it was something like, hey, we'd love you to come play. Like we have Dr. Will and Dan, and then we have Parv and Sandra. And it's like, these are, you know, great duos from these popular TV shows. And he probably had a conflict and they're probably like, hey, what if we bring him out to just be a guest or host a challenge or something? And that's what happened. And they used the very few shots of him that they had and they put it in the trailer and they got people excited. They got people talking, they got people to tune in. And that's how that all works.
What did you think about, the challenge?
I actually thought it was really, cool. Like the escape room. I like the whole lights thing. I think the bugs are always fun. The tunnels are cool. Again, as good as a challenge can be on this show, it's still not going to be very good just because of the stakes. These challenges have no stakes. You're not watching it to gain anything. And it's like, I'm not sitting there wondering how much money are they going to collect? Who's going to leave the house and cost them $1,000? Like, you don't care. You don't care as an audience. And as fun as it is to see bugs get dumped on people, and as cool as the tunnels were, and I liked everything about it. I actually thought I liked that, like, get the token up with the bar through the chicken wire. Like, I thought that was a fun little thing.
Ripping through, unscrewing.
I loved how Kate noticed the trap door and was like, oh, I'm not doing these lights. All of it really well done. It's just, there's no meaning to these challenges. So I think we say the same thing every episode. Like, I love the bird one. I thought that was really funny. I like the levity when they get it in there. It's just like, who cares? What are we doing? Like, even in Survivor, I know people complain sometimes, like, oh, they're balancing again. Yes, but we're playing for immunity. And like, you have two people that, like, they absolutely need to win it. And they're, like, holding on for dear life. And they're shaking. And a bug lands on their nose. And they're sweating. And we're zooming in with these amazing cameras and the beautiful setting. And it's like, yeah, what is what they're doing all that exciting when we're actually thinking about, like, they're holding a ball on a balance beam or in a weird position? Like, probably not. But the stakes are so high and you're invested in the people and you're invested in what this challenge means for that person's story and the rest of that episode and the rest of the season. So that's what they got to figure out with the challenges, at least in my opinion.
Here's a good question from King Barrage, or a good comment from King Barrage, and we'll see if there's any merit to it. No one will be murdered and Trishel will think she was targeted. Do you put any weight behind that? Because Trishel did find the shield tonight.
Right. And I actually I missed that. It's because the challenge is, I was kind of, you know, not paying as much attention as I should be, but it's hard to. They could very well think, wow, they killed Trishel and Trishel comes out. I had the shield, everybody. Yes, that's possible, but they also know that they just eliminated Parvati. So they know that that is still like the coincidence of that happening. I guess how many people left? Like four 10. People didn't go through the no, four people didn't go through the tunnel.
Four, yeah. It was all the housewives.
So there's still eight people that could have gotten the shield.
Seven people. I'll do math for you real quick. There were 11. Four didn't go.
Oh, I thought there were 12. Sorry.
No.
Because Bergie died.
Yeah, Bergie was. Yes. Bergie cuddled up with his stuffed animal and died.
Yes. So okay, you still like 1 in 7. Chance, and why wouldn't you just murder one of the four housewives that you know don't have it?
And you know it wasn't. And you know Kevin didn't get it too, because Kevin only crawled through in the dark. So they said the shield, I think there it was told that the shield was in the tunnels, if I'm not mistaken. So Kevin, there's no way he could have gotten it.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. So yeah, about half you can eliminate. I'm just
No, it's a good point. It's like you could think that, but I think Parv going home is gonna just be like, recruit someone. There's one of you here is a traitor. You're a new traitor.
So we'll see what ends up happening with that. Let me ask you this, Will. Did John give us maybe like the best soundbite of reality TV for 2024? Do you think anything will top this? The Duchess of Deception and the Mistress of Murder. That is what he called Parvity. That is blowing up
after the internet after he called Parv a faithful, like you're one of the most faithful people here. Mm-hmm. That was such a heartfelt one-on-one for him to come back and just like zinger like that. That's pretty good. I like that one.
I love that. John's bringing it, man. John's delivering. Thomas McGee. Okay, so Will, I'm starting to believe you. Thomas McGee said, Alan never said that there would be no murder tonight. Now I'm starting to think with you where perhaps there is going to be. That's why they're giving the ultimatum, because they know they need to get somebody out of the game. So they'll give the ultimatum, because then if she does recruit, it'll be, okay, let's work together. Who do you want to get rid of? And if that ends up being the situation, who do you think they'd get rid of?
Right, but I do think the ultimatum isn't to ensure someone goes out of the game if they say no. I think it's to be like, hey, we need to have another traitor. You don't want a traitor operating alone for that long. I brought this up last week. It's just not interesting. And that's why when there is one person left, that's why Alan comes in. It's like you need someone to react and sound off of. But yes, I very well could see them murdering somebody. And who do they murder? I mean, maybe just at that point, just murder Peter, but I guess he's getting heat now. It's so funny. It's like that seems like Peter's the one who is on to Phaedra the most. So maybe just like finally nip him in the bud and be like, all right, Peter, just you're done, man. I'm sorry. And I don't even think the faithful would be like all that, like, oh, it has to be Phaedra. It would be like, if you're Phaedra, like, oh, now whoever the traitor is, pin that on me because they killed Peter. Like, again, you can always kind of go back and forth and be like, that's what a traitor would do. That would be the obvious move. So I maybe Peter just goes home.
It's tricky, because if you get rid of Peter, you get rid of the person that everybody would be assuming, I think, at the next banishment, considering he did start to defend Parvati. So maybe that's how Kate and Phaedra want to play it. But if you get rid of Peter, then it leaves open the option of, well, then who is the traitor? Because now we have no inclination of who it would be.
Yeah, but we really haven't seen Peter take all that much heat. And the person he's taking the most heat from is Kate, who doesn't have like a coalition and is actually now not a faithful and is a traitor and is going to be working more closely with Phaedra. So it's not, I mean, I feel like people still think Peter is faithful. I don't think anyone like, is he the has the most heat? Maybe, but I think if you were to like ask the players, they'd be like, if I had to rank who I think is the most faithful, Peter would be in the top of their list there too. Like he's just the most active player. So you think he's either very much a faithful or very much a traitor.
Yeah. I think what it comes down to is none of the Bravo ladies think that another Bravo lady could possibly be a traitor. And that's where it's going. Okay, well, then it has to be one of these other people. And that's where they're just looking at Peter and stuff. So I think all the Bravo ladies, if you ask them the rank, who do you think is most faithful, all the Bravo ladies are at the top.
See, if I were the traitors, I would try to pin it onto Trishelle or CT and be like, look, Parv was a traitor, Survivor. Dan was a traitor, Big Brother. We have three challenge people on. Bananas was murdered, so he clearly wasn't a traitor. And CT and Trishelle are still in this game. I mean, that's how I would do it, especially because the show now is clearly open about saying, oh, I think it has to be one person from this show or this franchise or this network that saying, hey, I think it's one of the people from the challenge. I think that's actually a very fine way to push the target. That's what I would absolutely be doing if I were Kate or Phaedra.
Yeah. I'm wondering, will we ever get to the point where, let's say they go through the challenge people. Let's say they say, Trishelle, you're out. They vote for her. She's not a traitor. Then they vote for CT. Do you think that it ever gets to the point where then they all start to say, hey, we actually do need to get rid of each other in terms, and I'm by they, I mean the Bravo people? Or do you think the Bravo people would say, maybe we're all just faithfuls then?
No, I mean, because look at what the Bravo people are known for.
It's like they aren't known for
eventually they'll bitch out at each other.
Yeah, they're not known for being best friends. They're, I mean, they're known for at first being best friends and then, you know, getting into arguments and fights and flipping tables and having affairs and screwing each other out of business deals. And I really don't watch any of those shows, but that's just kind of what you hear. It's like you get into these, you get drama, man. Like it happens. So I don't think it's all, you know, butterflies and roses and candy canes and all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
With this group, that they will absolutely turn on each other, especially if they get people out that continue to be faithful and they're the only ones left.
They'll realize that there's no way they can play this game without a traitor involved in the game. Most of the chat, as we're going through this, is thinking that the faithful are winning. Do you think the faithful have this locked up now, or is that just us assuming that the housewives and those types of reality TV show people can't play as traitors? I mean, Phaedra's proven us wrong this whole season.
I mean, I think the faithful at this point are winning, like they are ahead, but the show is a player in this game too. And the show has done a lot to help the traitors come back. I mean, the whole recruiting deal, can't bring it up enough. Sure, you can get as many traitors out as you want. Replenishing it doesn't really matter. So Kate and Phaedra, like even if one of them goes home next week, do they just get another person? Like, is that how it works? I don't know.
Yeah, because we're only technically halfway through the game right now. There's 21 people that they started with. I know Deontay quit, then you bring in Kate, so there's technically 22, but like you're barely halfway through.
Yeah. And if it were a fair game, it would be get all three traders. Hey, maybe you have one chance to recruit. But that's why it's hard to say who's winning or who's in the lead, because the show can just take a turn. And like we even had last week where no one was banished and no one was murdered, where it's like it was just we're going to give safety. And like we totally saved Parv. She would have gone home an episode earlier if we had gotten to banish someone last week. So yeah. I don't know. I think the faithful are in the lead. I'll say that. I think I could see them winning. I think that's probably okay. I think that's for the show. You don't want traitor to win, because then it's like, okay, the traitors always win. You need the win rate to be like 60-40 or somewhere close to 50-50, so that each season you go into it, you're like, well, I don't know. It's like the Super Bowl over-unders. There's been like 56 Super Bowls or something. And
58.
Okay, 50. I think it was the stat was for the – or there had been 57, and one was a push, but it was like the over-unders were 28-28-1. Mm-hmm. Like that's how they good. That's how you want to set the line so that you don't know which side it's – is it going to go over? Is it going to go under? Are the traders going to win or are the faithful going to win? So I think starting with your first two seasons to have traders win one and faithful win the next, I think that's probably a good thing for the overall health of the franchise.
Yeah, and I'm going to do three quick plugs here. First, like this video if you're still watching, please. And then two, Phil and Will show is going to be after this, where we are going to talk about Will and his Super Bowl with the San Francisco 49ers.
No.
And then three, we actually talk about this a lot on our Patreon, patreon.com/specialist. We do our Every Season Matters for our top-tier patrons, and if you're top-tier, you get all the episodes all over. But we were talking about how Tina and Hatch are so important as back-to-back winners in the first two seasons of Survivor. And that kind of feels like where we're sitting with the traders. The difference with the traders is it doesn't really matter who wins. It just matters that a faithful and a traitor win those first two seasons to show that it can be done on both sides. I don't care which faithfuls win at the end of the day here.
Well, that's what it will be. Even if you know, the faithfuls do have a lead, and if it's looking very dire for the traitors to survive, which I think is totally fine. Then your question heading into the last few episodes is, okay, we have this group of faithful. Who's going to pull it out? Who's going to have, who's got to survive the murders, survive any more banishments, and like figure out how to get the most money out of it too. Cause I think that could be fun, where we kind of transition from like really caring about who the traitors are and who, you know, how well the faithful can catch them, and more about how are you going to make the most money for yourself now that you have like a winning hand.
So we're pretty much wrapping this up, but let me ask you this last question that I have, at least. When it came to a show like Survivor, the first season of that was all about the social experiment, surviving, eating bugs, not having food, not having water. How are we going to do this? Now it has evolved to the point where it's who has idols, who are we voting out, who lost their vote, who's doing this. Doesn't matter that they're trying to build a society. They're eating peanut butter and jelly at the sanctuary. Like, it's same stuff. do we see a similar thing with the Traders, where if the Traders goes on for 15 seasons, the Traders is now starting off as let's find the Traders, to the point where we are going to get to round tables in future seasons where it's not going to be let's find the Traders. It's going to be you're not in my alliance, so I want you out of the game. And they're going to openly air those conversations. Not just that that's how the game's going to change, but that that's how they're going to openly air conversations. Do you think that happens?
I think it's hard to say. We have to see where the show kind of goes and where the trend is. I mean, even if we're looking trends from season one to season two, you know, adding shields into the game and not knowing where shields are, I feel like that is kind of turned the game on its head. And we're only two seasons into this thing. I think we talked about this last week, that that could be a groundbreaking thing for the show. And you see it here too. It's like, let's put a shield in a challenge and like, let's not tell who has it. And like that creates a lot of intrigue and deception and strategy. And so again, I could see money being maybe attached to the Traders, or like, I don't know. I feel like the challenges need to be revamped, and then that will kind of like inform the rest of like where the show can go from there. But I see probably more advantages, more complex gameplay, more shields, more prisoner dilemma moments. Like we had the chalice thing, I think, which is really fun. I think the show will go more that route in terms of like aesthetic and theme. I don't know if you can ever get away from it. I mean, it's such a character in the show, whereas Survivor, their theme and aesthetic was actually like surviving and what's it like to create a society and like living on an island. The game was secondary, and then the game took over, and now the game is much more, it's in the forefront. It's the primary reason the show exists and why people watch the show. Not that people don't like the survival elements, but they find the game really interesting. I don't think this show, The Traders, can ever get away from the castle and like the look and the feel of the tone of that. And we're going to murder someone. Like, we're not going to get, and I think that's like, it's fine. You can still tweak other things and not lose that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's, I don't think they're ever losing that. I don't think they're ever losing. I think the day Alan Cumming doesn't want to be the host, they're probably not going to keep doing the show. But I more am just looking at, will the conversation start to become less about we need to find the Traders?
I think, more about, I mean,
we just need to get show, money for ourselves.
The show clearly has success in other countries with different hosts. So whenever that happens, you're not really reliant. You're not as reliant.
I think they'll move to a different location when that happens. I think we'll move away from maybe the castle in Scotland, and maybe we go somewhere else and get a different style host to kind of
that could be fun.
Differentiate the eras.
Yeah, that could be good.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I don't have anything else I need to say about this episode. I don't know if you have anything else that you want to jump
in. I thought it was a fun episode. I did enjoy that we were going into that last round table where it's like, it's not, are they going to catch a traitor or are they going to be wrong and catch a faithful? It's like, no, which traitor are they going to catch? And we had that last time with Dan and Parv. This one though felt, or sorry, Dan and Phaedra actually, when Dan drops it. But this one felt way more like a horse race. Like it really felt like, oh my gosh, the tides were actually turning on Phaedra, and there was a real world where you're like sitting there thinking, wait, it's gonna be Parv is gonna be the last one out of these three traitors. Like Phaedra could have gone home there. So I did enjoy the suspense of that, I will say. Mm-hmm. And overall a fun episode. I mean, it's a fun show.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. And for all the Parv stands out there, John, a former member of parliament, just beat Parvati at a game and was kind of the deciding vote of her going home. If he would have gone, maybe CT would have changed his mind. Who knows? But he was the one who went against her. So John, the member of parliament, is a better Traders player than Parvati. Okay, that might not be true, but I just like to throw that out there for all the Parvati stands who can't get enough because now she's out. That's it. I think Will in the off season, I'm talking about like when the Traders is over, I do think it would be fun to do a podcast of just focusing on Traders challenges and how they can actually make them better, but keep it in theme with what they're trying to do.
I'm not giving that inside out for free. I'm not going to fix it unless
they do it on Patreon.
They want to come hire me to fix their format. I'm all ears. I'll come out.
I just got you hired on a job. You got to kick me back now.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all I want. All right, everybody, thank you all so much for listening. We're doing the Phil and Will show right after this. If you haven't checked out our Survivor content, go check that out. We did the prop bet game. You can win a prize. So go check out that game and make sure to sign up before the premiere. That episode aired on, what was that, Monday night? Yeah, it was Monday night. Tuesday night? It was Tuesday night. Wow.
Wait, what was Monday? Oh, Monday was with Russell. Second Chance. Second Chance 2 cast. Yeah. And we have the Brant Steel for that on Sunday
at 3:30 p.m. Eastern.
There we go. That's gonna
there
be
you fun. Go.
So I've never done a Brant Steel before, so I'm pretty excited.
I am very excited. I've never done a Brant Steel either. And then John and I just talked about that Society of the Snow movie, which Will got mad at me for kind of spoiling. And we talked about Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, which looks like a video game from 2007. So go check out all these episodes. We're having a good time. Become a patron, patreon.com/thespecialists. And we'll see you in a few minutes for those of you who are going to tune in.
Will Show. Just hop on over. We're going to keep the conversation going.
It's going to be such a fun time. Bye, everybody.
See ya.